It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, religious groups across the country are adapting to worshiping online amid the COVID-19 outbreak. We'll talk to two faith leaders here in Wisconsin about what they're doing for Tuesday. Tomorrow was supposed to be a big day for one popular movie franchise.
Bond. License to Kill. History of violence. I could be speaking to my own reflection. Only your skills die with your body. Mine will survive long after I'm gone.
History isn't kind to men who play God.
That's from No Time to Die, the latest in the James Bond series. Its U.S. release date has been pushed back from this month to November, just before Thanksgiving. Pushed back or postponed indefinitely because of the coronavirus outbreak. Theaters are closed, so it makes sense the releases can't happen on time. Are you turning to movies at home in the meantime? What are you watching and how are you watching it? Is there a new movie you've been looking forward to whenever it comes out? You can call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Reggie Ponder joins us now, also known as Reggie the Real Critic, for a look at the latest in the movie world and how people are adapting. Reggie appears weekly on Vocalo Radio in Chicago. He critiques movies for several other media outlets as well. Reggie, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, Rob, how are you doing? I hope you're staying safe.
Well, I am, and I hope you are too, Reggie. And before we get to the movies, how is this affecting the life of a movie critic?
Wow. I feel like I've been a little busier than I normally am because the studios, particularly the streaming services, are sending us everything to watch. So I'm watching so much stuff, Rob, that I'm so happy to be on the phone with you. Whew.
Getting a break from all those movies. Let's talk first about the things that are not happening at the big screen. We heard James Bond there. What were some of the ones you were looking forward to that we're going to have to hold off on now?
Well, Tom Cruise's Top Gun Maverick, they moved that from June the 24th to December. They really moved that out. They also moved A Quiet Place Part 2. And I think if you remember when we talked, I really loved A Quiet Place. I think that was the best use of audio or non-audio that I've seen in a long time. It really was like a silent movie, but they're pushing that all the way back to September the 4th. And of course, you're going to hurt the kids' feelings with SpongeBob movie. I mean, Sponge on the Run is moving from May the 22nd to July the 31st. There's Fast and the Furious 9. I mean, so there's so many movies out there that people are waiting for. But what I'll say is that while the theaters right now are, not the theaters, the movie studios are losers right now, they'll get a rebound effect because the movies are still going to come out at some point.
Now, some movies I know are going to switch to streaming, but I want to key in on one you mentioned that didn't, the new Quiet Place one. Actor, director John Krasinski said, you know, this is a movie best watched with a lot of other people. It doesn't make sense, he thought, to release it to watch in our living rooms alone at this point. That idea of, you know, movies as still this communal experience is still out there, Reggie.
Yeah, I totally agree. And that's how come I think that the movies will never die, even though a lot of people have been doing streaming for a while, is that there are just some movies from a visual perspective that you have to see on the big screen. Then there's some movies from an experience perspective that you have to see on a big screen. And then there's just some movies that you just want to go out with your friends and just see on the big screen. So I think A Quiet Place Part 2 is one of those movies that if you and I decide to go together, you probably would have a divot in your leg because I would put my hands in and I'd be so scared. So it is one of those kind of participatory movies with other people.
Talking to Reggie Ponder, also known as Reggie the Real Critic, looking at how shutdown watching experience and the movies available to us. And it's not just, Reggie, movies that are done and ready to air. It's also going to be delaying production on some movies, it sounds like.
It's delaying. Not sounds like it. It is. It is delaying production on a lot of movies because, as you know, Tom Hanks was actually in the process of filming a movie and caught the coronavirus, and so that told the movie industry everything they needed to do. You can't film a movie with two people. You need all the other things that you need for lighting and all that other stuff. So, yes, it will do that as well.
Let's look at some of the other big movies that have had openings postponed. The Marvel Universe carries on. Eventually, Black Widow, I understand, with Scarlett Johansson. That's another one that's been put off, Reggie.
Absolutely, and it was one that I was looking forward to as well. And the reason the theaters and the film companies won't make the kind of money that they would make by releasing a film like that, because the Marvel Cinematic Universe gets a lot of people out to the theaters, and then after that it goes to streaming, and a lot of people will watch it from there as well. So it just doesn't make sense for a lot of these big franchise movies to release Fast and Furious or Black Widow or any of those types of films, because they will lose a lot of revenue. In fact, one of the things I didn't mention is that the stock of the theater companies, meaning like AMC and Century, their stock is down 50% to 70%.
Right. There's a concern with a lot of businesses, big and small, about whether they're going to be able to get through this and then open up at the end of shutdowns. Is there a concern that we're going to lose some theaters or even theater chains?
Yes, absolutely. There's some concern because there's some smaller theater chains. Let's say I know of one. I just can't think of the name right now, but I think they have like somewhere between 20 and 30 theaters. They cannot survive an extended, prolonged period without some people in their in their theaters. And then some of the especially art house theaters, they're going to have a really tough time. And you know that and this also goes over to real theater as well. So those theater companies are smaller theater companies are losing money and as well. So it's hard all the way around as we look at entertainment.
Let's talk about what we can see now, Reggie. Are any movies coming out that were supposed to start in the big screen on the big screen coming out in streaming services instead?
So there are a few films that they're looking at to put out, but most of them have been more animated or family type movies. So what Disney has done is Disney has said, okay, there's a couple of movies that we can take and just put on Disney Plus. We wanted more people to subscribe to Disney Plus anyway, so this might actually be playing into their hands in a way that Disney Plus is going to be a winner. I think I before we started this, I said one of the winners for this will be the streaming companies. So that's Disney Plus, Apple TV, Netflix, Hulu. Those services are going to be winners during this time.
Those services have been doing original content, both series and movies as well. Are there new movies coming out that were already planned to be on streaming services that you are liking, recommending, or looking forward to, Reggie?
Not at this point. There aren't any specific movies that I'm looking forward to that are coming out on streaming services that should have come out on the big screen. That is because, again, the theaters are really saying to themselves that we're going to wait so we can get show these movies later and do what they call the catch-up effect, meaning catch up by just rolling those movies and hoping that people will still go to them. But what I will say is that Netflix is doing a really great job of showing original series. And that's one of the things. They're really winning on series. And when they get you caught on a series, that means that all of a sudden you're watching somewhere between 10 and 15 episodes of a series on these new shows. And I think that that's good, Rob. I think that's good for diversity because we kind of tend to watch the same old, but this time is actually requiring us to kind of look for some different things. And I think that these streaming services are doing a good job. Not as much on the movie end. There are some movies out there, but more so on the series end that can keep your attention.
We're talking to movie critic Reggie Ponder, also known as Reggie the Real Critic, about how the movie industry is responding to the coronavirus pandemic and what it means for the movies you can watch. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What are some movies you've been looking forward to seeing in theaters? Are you still looking forward to them now that they've been postponed? Are you bummed that you can't go out and see a movie? And if you are watching movies at home, what are you watching? Are you digging into some old favorites, some old classics, the old DVD or even collection? Are you streaming? How are you watching the movies you're watching? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We pick up our talk now with movie critic Reggie Ponder, Reggie the Real Critic, about how the movie industry is responding to the coronavirus outbreak, business closings, and stay-at-home orders. A lot of big movies being postponed. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What are you watching at home these days, and how are you watching it? Are you catching up with some classic movies you might have missed or re-watching some old favorites? Are you streaming it, DVDing it, whatever? And are there new movies that you really want to see on the big screen? Maybe that new James Bond, for example, you're looking forward to whenever it comes out. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Becky is with us in Beloit. Becky, hello.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I work at the local library here, and I just wanted folks to be aware that if they want to log on to their local library's website, they are doing a lot of free streaming, a lot of services, a lot of ideas for free entertainment, and a lot of the libraries are offering opportunities to get a library card, a temporary 3-month library card, just for going on their website. So,
right, a virtual library cards, right, Becky?
There. Yeah. So it's a good free service, and you might just find something else you like there.
Fantastic.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, Becky, because I think libraries across the nation are doing that, and I think that's a great service for folks who might not be in a position, given the fact that they've lost their job, to purchase some of these streaming services, that the library can step in and fill some of the gap. Thank you for that.
Becky, thanks a lot for calling in at 800-642-1234. Now, Reggie, I know you said you're getting swamped with screeners for movies. Are you taking an opportunity to look back at some old favorites yourself lately?
I am, in fact. My two children, they're young adults. They're 24 and 20. They're movies that I want them to see. So we'll sit down. And we've started with a lot of the top movies from 2019. I know you and I talked about this before. My youngest daughter has not seen the movie Parasite. So I am tonight, in fact, I'm going to watch Parasite again, but I'm going to watch it with her. And I'm going to have so much fun. So we're going through the list of the 2019 movies now, and we are watching some of those movies that they wanted to watch in the first place. So yes to that.
Well, I got to ask you, Reggie, I have teenagers. Is there going to come a point where I recommend a movie and they're enthusiastic about watching it with me, again, that is around the corner someday?
I think that the answer to that is actually yes, is that what I'm finding with the fact that we are sequestered with each other, that we're learning a little bit more about each other and learning how to appreciate some of the things that we might not have appreciated before. And what I mean by that is that I probably wouldn't watch a couple of the series that my daughters watch, but they'll say, come on, Dad, spend some time with us. Watch this with us. And then I'll do the same as well. And so we learn a little bit about each other. We talk about the films and the things that we see. So the answer, I think, to your question is absolutely yes.
Oh, what have they introduced you to, Reggie, that you've liked, series or movie?
There is a series, and of course now I'm forgetting the name of it, that we've been watching with Kerry Washington and, how come I'm forgetting? It's on Netflix, and it is so interesting.
Was it that Little Fires Everywhere?
Yes, Little Liars Everywhere. We have been watching that series, and I did not want to sit down and watch that series because I'm watching so much. It has been so interesting. They got me hooked. I am hooked.
That sounds fantastic. We're talking to Reggie Ponder, also known as Reggie the Real Critic, about how the movie world is changing in the midst of the coronavirus outbreak and theaters being closed. Still time for you to join in at 800-642-1234. Let us know what you're watching, movies new or old, and how you're watching them, given that theaters aren't really an option. 800-642-1234. Movie festivals, Reggie, they're a big deal, and I assume they're on ice right now, too. What kind of things are going on there?
A lot of stuff. So the Frame Line, which is the LGBTQ film festival, is being delayed. It's being delayed until the fall. The African American Black Film Festival, which was supposed to take place on June the 17th in Miami, will now take place in October on the 21st through the 25th. The BMA Cinema Fest has been canceled, and this is the New York platform for emerging independent filmmakers. And so this particular film festival is so important for these emerging independent film festivals, and it has been pushed back or really canceled. So they don't even know when that's going to come. When they're going to be able to do that. And then there's just so many other film festivals as well. This is really hurting the film festival circuit. And when you talk about, ask the question, will we lose some theaters, we probably are going to lose some festivals as well, because these festivals don't make a lot of money, and it's really hard to put them on each year. So I'm really hopeful that, I guess, with the loans that are being given out, that as a small business, these festivals will be able to survive this time period.
Yeah, and that makes me think, I think of the big movie production companies. How is this all going to affect the little guys, the independents, trying to get through this?
You're absolutely right. It really is the same thing. That if you were doing a production right now, you were spending money, and now all of a sudden you stopped. That is really going to cost your business. And if you're a smaller studio, you won't be able to rebound from that. Like, you know, some of the bigger theater houses like Paramount, Universal, and Searchlight, Sony, they'll be able to do that. I do want to mention really quickly that you did ask about some of the movies that have been pushed back. Mm-hmm. And one of the movies that I was looking forward to was Ghostbusters Afterlife. And I know, call me silly, but I was looking forward to it. And it was supposed to be released this year, but it's not going to be released until March 5th of 2021.
Wow. A long wait for some movies. We heard from Chuck in Madison who couldn't stay on the line. Chuck has a gripe about Apple TV pop-ups while he's watching movies, prompting him to pay for additional services, despite all the other Apple services he signed up for. Reggie, do you see disruptions when you're watching various kind of screening services that, I don't know, might interfere with our smooth watching experience?
I have not seen that, but I have been inundated with ads in my regular internet stuff about these different streaming services, and being a person who has a lot of Apple products, I am tired of seeing Apple ads about their streaming service. But I must admit that I am watching. I just watched a movie on their service called The Banker, starring Anthony Mackie and Samuel L. Jackson, and I enjoyed it. It's actually a true story. So, but I understand where people are getting a little frustrated as well. So I just haven't seen that on my service.
Of all the screeners you've been seeing lately, Reggie, can we live vicariously through you? Can you share a couple of your favorites that we can put in our calendar for the future?
Well, The Banker was one. I saw that before it came out, and I really enjoyed that. And it's really interesting that again, these streaming services are using some mainstream actors. So this is not like you getting this drop off of talent to do these movies. So that was one. And I'm watching four things right now, which I really can't speak to because they're not out yet. So, but I'll tell you that I'm watching a series called the Eddie. My daughter and I, we are arguing about it, and it's so interesting. And it's set in France, and it's about a club. And I can't say too much more because it's not out yet. It doesn't come out until the 25th of this month. But I am watching a lot of stuff these days.
Well, Reggie, thank you so much for joining us. Always good to talk to you.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Rob. And again, look, make sure if you got a streaming service, fish around a little bit. There's a lot of stuff to watch and enjoy.
All right. That's Reggie Ponder, also known as Reggie the Real Critic. He reviews movies on Vocalo Radio in Chicago and elsewhere. And we talked to him today about the coronavirus impact and the response from the movie industry, what it means for the movies you can see and when you're going to be able to see them. A lot of big name movies postponed for months, years, indefinitely, and of course, production too. Still time to let us know what you're watching. You can head over to the Ideas Network Facebook page. Tell us what movie you've watched or re-watched lately at home and how you watched it. And if you're looking forward to being able to go to a movie theater and watch movies again in the hopefully not too distant future. Coming up after the news, we'll talk to a pastor and a rabbi about how their faith communities are handling the COVID-19 outbreak and the holidays. And we'll go out with some music, a little tease from one of the movies you can't see quite yet, a James Bond movie postponed from, I think, being released tomorrow up till a lot closer to Thanksgiving, the latest James Bond movie. I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, a Wisconsin doctor who recovered from COVID-19 is donating his plasma in order to help treat patients still suffering from the disease. We'll talk to the doctor and one of the researchers developing an antibody treatment. But first,
venuta la sera, così inizia il Vangelo che abbiamo ascoltato.
That's Pope Francis delivering a sermon to St. Peter's Square last month. The square is usually jam-packed with the faithful, but totally empty on the day of that sermon. Religious communities around the globe have had to reevaluate how they worship as physical distancing and stay-at-home orders become the norm. And these orders come at a particularly special time for many faithful. For the Jewish community, Passover began last night. For Christians, Easter is this Sunday. And for Muslims, Ramadan begins at the end of the month. These events are typically celebrated as a community in their respective houses of worship. This year, that isn't really able to happen. Our next guests join us to talk about how they and their congregations are handling the holidays and worship amid COVID-19. Rabbi Michal Wall leads Congregation Shir Hadash in Milwaukee. Rabbi Wall, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much.
Also with us, Pastor Amanda Stein leads Bashford United Methodist Church in Madison. Pastor Stein, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Rabbi Wall, let's start with you. I understand you held a virtual Seder last night. How did that go?
We did. And I think it went about as well as could be expected. The lovely thing is that I could essentially double the capacity of my dining room. compared to a normal first Seder. We had over 30 people on about 24 separate devices scattered around the area. And most people had their Seder materials in their own homes, and we went through the ritual together with a lot of conversation on what feels so different this year.
And Pastor Stein, Good Friday, Easter Sunday coming up. This has all gone through the Lent season. How have you and your congregation adapted over the last few weeks?
I would say almost everything we have adapted in different ways and forms. We have not been able to be in worship, as you know, for 3 or 4 weeks now. And so whereas that normally for us as Christian congregations is our weekly gathering, our kind of town hall meeting or city center, now we've had to send out more mail, postal mail, in order to stay in contact with dear members and friends. We're sending out more e-news instead of doing just once a week. We're sending it out twice a week. So we are just trying all different kinds of ways and means in order to communicate with our parishioners during this time.
And Rabbi Wall, that that in-person sense of community is so important to people of faith. Are you finding ways to bridge that even without that that larger gathering in person?
We are, and I feel that we are very fortunate that we have the means to do it. And I know that is not true for so many people and communities in Milwaukee and in the state. So the assumption that, oh, we can just go virtual sounds really easy if you have easy access to technology and to internet. And so we have that advantage, unlike men in many communities. Some of our older congregants are not accustomed to connecting quite as much through the internet. And so it has been a learning curve. My community has one small benefit of being relatively small and intimate to begin with. So being it was easier to transition a lot of our programming and usual activities to an online Zoom virtual format and still be able to interact, which would be much more difficult if we're expecting gatherings of hundreds.
And Pastor Stein, what are you working on when it comes to Easter Sunday in particular?
Yeah, absolutely. Earlier I was asked, so tell me how you're preparing. And I almost gave this rote kind of expression or, oh, you know, I'm sitting down and writing my sermon. But it's almost like when somebody asks, how are you doing? We actually have to pause now and say, oh, wait, no, I'm not doing the usual thing. So for our congregation, much like I was listening to Rabbi's story about her congregation, is that we have many older members who are not savvy with technology, whether it's financial capacity or, you know, tech savvy in that nature. So we try our very best to find the means that will communicate the actual media or medium that will communicate to the most congregants. And so for us during this time, that has been instead of some sort of Facebook live stream or other attempt like that, we have been using YouTube simply and using the Gmail account that we have through the church and uploading our sermons, children's sermons, special music, all on YouTube so that people can, through an email, through our listserv, we can just send that to them and they can click on and observe and appreciate and enjoy what we're able to offer during this time.
We're talking about how congregations in Wisconsin are responding to the challenges of COVID-19 and the inability to get people together to gather. We have Pastor Amanda Stein with us from the Bashford United Methodist Church in Madison and Rabbi Michal Wall from the Congregation Shir Hadash in Milwaukee. Rabbi Wall, let's talk about messaging in a difficult time. I've seen people point out that part of what Passover is all about is talking about how a community comes through a time of suffering. Is that informing your conversations with your congregants?
Absolutely. No question about it. And the biggest challenge for me is thinking about and revaluing the idea of a plague. The story that we tell at Passover is of redemption from Egypt and the mythic story tells us that God brought plagues upon the evil oppressor, Pharaoh, in order to free the slaves. Those plagues are very different than what we're experiencing now, but people really can't help but to think of COVID-19 and the sickness and the impact it's having on our society as a plague. So that has been an interesting conversation. And the other real challenge from a messaging standpoint, actually there are two. One is the beginning of our Seder. Every year we say, may all who are hungry come and eat and join us at our table and in our home. And at a time when we can't even be gathering with the family or the friends that we're accustomed to gathering for, it is hard to imagine having an open door and inviting others in. So having to think about so much metaphorically that we can no longer do physically. And I want to say the last real challenge this year, and I have to say the debacle with the election happening during the week of Passover and during Holy Week, is that the story of the Passover is not only being leading suffering, but going from oppression to redemption and justice. And so being in an environment where justice feels so fleeting really has made it a challenge for people to leave the Seder with hope and a sense of being able to move forward nearly as much as we might like to. It has definitely fired us up to go out there and do the work.
And Pastor Stein, the next 3 days in the Christian faith are, of course, are a story of loss and sacrifice and then renewal and hope. How are you talking about that in the time of coronavirus?
I think you named it exactly, that this is just a very difficult time and that the darkness has set in. It will continue to feel like it sets in on us. But unbeknownst to us in the way that it comes, the glory, the beauty, the hope, the light everlasting will come to us. And so it is that time of darkness right now, and it's difficult for us trying to correlate that with what's going on in our lives and with the coronavirus and just how our hearts feel in this moment in time. But indeed, that is the message for us, one of everlasting hope. And so we look forward to Easter. It will come with or without us. And so we are very grateful for that beautiful biblical story that reminds us that we are not alone.
And I want to ask each of you briefly what you hope your congregation and others, for that matter, take away from this time. Rabbi Wall, you first.
I'm almost speechless. I really have to think about where we go with this. I think so much of what's happening right now is walking us back to simplicity and to basics and to really understanding oppression, understanding suffering, and also understanding what redemption can look like. I think it's for so many of us to think about our lives in very different ways, and we're discovering new things about ourselves and about the world around us.
And Pastor Stein, can you leave us with some closing thoughts about what you hope we take away from this?
Absolutely. The hope for me is that we do re-realize that the coming together is community, and that our buildings are secondary, but the community of faith is primary, and reconnecting in these new ways and making efforts over and above of what we had done before, reconnecting with people that have been disenfranchised or have been lost or somehow abandoned, that this is our opportunity, not only with our own community, but with the community and the dear ones that live in our neighborhoods, in our cities, and in our state.
Pastor Stein, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much.
And Rabbi Wall, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely, a pleasure.
Rabbi Michal Wall leads Congregation Shir Hadash in Milwaukee, and Pastor Amanda Stein leads Bashford United Methodist Church in Madison. They joined us today for a look at how their respective congregations are handling holidays like Passover and Easter amid the COVID-19 outbreak. Coming up, we'll talk to a doctor recovering from the novel coronavirus who's now donating his plasma and antibodies to help with treatment for other patients. That's coming up next here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, there are a lot of benefits to saying thank you to people, including for your own mental health. We'll talk to a researcher on gratitude about how to get the most out of thankfulness. First, as the novel coronavirus outbreak continues, doctors around the world are racing to from the disease. There's been some hope that antibodies donated by people who recovered from the disease could be used to help patients beat COVID-19. Here in Wisconsin, one organization is working on developing a treatment using the antibodies from a doctor in the state who was diagnosed with a mild case in the spring. Dr. David Lal is a pediatric oncologist for Children's Hospital of Wisconsin. He recovered from a case of COVID-19. He's now donating his plasma to help other patients suffering from the disease. Dr. Lal, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be on.
Also with us, Dr. Jerome Gottschall, Senior Medical Director of Transfusion Medicine for Versiti. Dr. Gottschall, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Good to be here.
Dr. Lal, let's start with you first. How are you feeling after having caught this thing?
I've completely recovered. I'm just very fortunate that I had a mild case and was able to get through it fine with no long-term complications.
And what led you to get involved now in donating your plasma to look for possible treatments?
Well, I think as healthcare providers, we're always searching for ways to help our patients, their families, and our communities. And this is just a natural extension of what we do every day. And so, you know, if there is anything I can do to help, this is a novel method that may help other patients who are struggling with a very severe form of the coronavirus.
Now, Dr. Gottschall, take us into the science of how antibodies for someone who's lived through this illness could end up helping others.
So we are collecting what's called convalescent plasma from individuals who have recovered from the coronavirus infection. And of course, when you recover from an infection, you make antibodies that help you recover. And that antibody stays in your plasma. And the hope is that by using some of this plasma and infusing it back into a sick patient, these antibodies can help rid the virus from the body faster than our own body is doing that and help the patient get better. It is a research study. So we are not sure if it's going to work or not, but this is this being done on a national basis and is being really ramped up across our country because there are so many ill patients.
And to clarify for our listeners, this is something that is different than a vaccine. It's not the same thing as a vaccine. Do I have that right?
No, that is correct. When you get a vaccine, the body then gets the vaccine and makes an antibody. And then you have the antibody circulating to protect you if you're ever exposed. This is actually trying to treat the patient with a product that's a drug, it's plasma, but it's actually a treatment directly, whereas vaccine is more of a preventative measure.
Now, Dr. Lal, as a healthcare provider, what happened when you got that positive test for COVID? What did you have to do to make sure you hadn't spread it to others and then to make sure you didn't subsequently spread it to others?
Yeah, that was my biggest concern. I was shocked when I received the positive result. And my first worry was for the patients, their families, and my colleagues I had been interacting with, hoping that I didn't unintentionally spread it to them. Children's Wisconsin acted right away and tested over 100 people. And to my knowledge, everyone tested negative. So I feel very fortunate for that and very grateful for that. But I think it really speaks to the importance of good hand hygiene, social distancing. And even though I was positive, I luckily didn't infect other people.
Yeah. What message do you send people now, having been through this experience yourself, on how to keep themselves from catching it and keep themselves from spreading it to others?
You know, the governor's policy of safer at home is really important. What we want to do is flatten the curve of the spread of disease so we are not getting overwhelmed in the healthcare field. And so social distancing, good hand hygiene, coughing in your arm or sneezing in your arm, just common sense measures that we've been advocating to help slow down the spread of the disease.
We're talking to Dr. David Lal from Children's Wisconsin. He's a pediatric oncologist. He had contracted COVID-19, a mild case, fortunately. Now he's donating plasma for research being done in part by our other guest, Dr. Jerome Gottschall from Versiti, Senior Medical Director of Transfusion Medicine there. Dr. Gottschall, talk us through the process now. As you mentioned, this is research. This is not a done deal. What would it take if this is a viable treatment option to get from where we are now to a practical treatment?
Well, I think this is a potentially a practical treatment. That is, if we can collect enough donors and get enough plasma that is given to patients, then the clinicians will study whether that treatment of infusing that plasma product into a patient has actually been effective. And if it is, we will continue doing this on a large scale and providing this product through this whole process while we have COVID virus infection running around our country. And it'll be very interesting to see. We're not going to know this in the next month. It'll probably take several months of giving the product and then studying whether the patients benefited to know whether it is effective. But the good thing is this is going to be done on a scale larger than ever has been done for what we call convalescent plasma. And we will know for this virus whether it is effective in a couple of months.
Now, I know, Dr. Gottschall, when I've donated blood or plasma in the past, they're very careful to make sure that I am not spreading some kind of illness myself. How are you watching for that? What kind of protocols are there to make sure that while we're transferring these antibodies, we don't have any unrelated diseases going along with them?
Okay. So a donor who is able to give convalescent plasma has to pass all the criteria that a regular-blooded donor means, all the questions that we ask to make sure it's safe to donate and safe for the patient to receive. And the blood is tested for all the standard viral tests that we do on any blood donor. And so the donor has to pass this. And the good thing is that this is a respiratory virus, and it is not thought in any way to be transmitted by blood.
And Dr. Lal, before you could donate your plasma here for this treatment, I understand you had to have a negative test result after that initial positive result. Do I have that right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. The criteria is that you have to have a positive test confirming that you were diagnosed with COVID, followed by being asymptomatic or completely free of symptoms for 14 days. And then lastly, you have to have another test confirming that you no longer are positive for COVID.
Just got an interesting question from a listener, Dr. Gottschall, about how long these antibodies might be useful. So when that person gets that negative test, do we have to get that plasma right away for it to be useful? Do we think at this point, is there an expiration kind of on when that that their plasma might be useful or not?
Well, that's a very good question. We know that if someone is out at least 14 days, and some other criteria means that people have to be out at least 28 days symptom-free. And so that means they've probably had their disease for probably 3 to 4 weeks. We know from studies that have been done in China that almost everybody has antibody by that time. So we're pretty sure. We don't know the quantity that's in their plasma, but we know that every patient has made an antibody. What we don't know yet is how long that antibody will be protective. Will be protective for months, for years, forever? We don't know that yet for this. For some diseases, like if we get chickenpox or measles, we almost never get it again, right? Because we've made antibodies. We don't know that for this virus, whether these will be long-term protection or whether it will be shorter term. That's why we really need a vaccine.
And briefly, Dr. Gottschall, you mentioned you need volunteers. I mean, if there are people out there who have had that, who have been diagnosed with COVID-19 and then the negative test, are you recruiting plasma volunteers?
We are. And if anyone fits that, they can work with their physician, or they can call into a line of at the blood center, Versity Blood Center, of 866-702-4673, or they can go on to our website, versity.org, V-E-R-S-I-T-I, versity.org/COVID-19 plasma. And if they go on to that, they can work their way into our system to become a donor.
And just briefly, Dr. Lal, as we wrap up, are you, since you've had the negative test, are you able to be back in action as a doctor again?
Yeah, I returned to work last weekend and took call, and I'm back at it. But I just really want to emphasize, if anyone else can donate, it really helps. There's plenty of patients who could potentially benefit from this therapy.
Dr. Lal, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
And Dr. Gottschall, thanks for being with us.
You're very welcome. Thanks for doing this.
We're talking to Dr. David Lall, pediatric oncologist at Children's Wisconsin. He had caught COVID-19, now a negative result. He's donating plasma for research, and Dr. Jerome Gottschall is doing some of that research. He's senior medical director of transfusion medicine for Versiti. They joined us to talk about potential treatments for COVID-19 using antibodies, using plasma from recovered patients like Dr. Lall. I had an interesting conversation earlier today that's going to air on the show next week, Wednesday. We recorded it in advance because our guest is a doctor in India. The time zone difference made it hard to do it live. The doctor has a new book out about laughter yoga. He's a big believer in the power of laughter to boost our moods and our health. He shared some exercises to get us laughing, faking it or for real. It's going to be interesting radio. I think a lot of laughter there. We're going to find out more on Wednesday. Now, I was skeptical at first, but then I thought for a long time now, my surefire cure for a bad mood has been to watch a funny movie or a TV show or video clip or read something funny that actually gets me laughing out loud. So that brings me to a question for you. What do you turn to when you need a good laugh? A movie, a TV show, online video, a book, a comic book, maybe a favorite comedy album, whatever it is. And I'm not now just talking about a wry chuckle. I want something that makes you laugh to where people can hear it. Email us your surefire laugh cure, ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org, or tweet us at Central Time WPR. Some of my go-tos over the years and decades: Mystery Science Theater 3000, Key and Peele clips, British comedian Peter Serafinowicz, and Janelle Shane's website with funny things generated by artificial intelligence algorithms. Funnier than it sounds. Share yours, ideas@WPR.org.